Okay then, thank you all for coming. I'm Richard, this is Jiri. We're both from SUSE's future technology team. I'm also OpenSUSE chairman, so I guess I felt that was nicer to write on this slide, but yeah. We're here to talk about sort of how to change anything in the OpenSUSE project, how you can get involved, and kind of give a bit of a sort of the philosophy behind contributing in OpenSUSE. So obviously, we're at the OpenSUSE conference. We all know where we came from. We had the keynote this morning. You know, originally started as an open project promoting the use of Linux everywhere, and yeah, started 2015. So you know, we're not old, we're classic, you know, and a little bit hippie, especially these days where, like Wojtek explained in the call this morning, the session this morning, you know, OpenSUSE really has this sort of freedom to go and do what it wants, separate from what SUSE's, separate from whatever SUSE's doing on their enterprise side of things. Which means when I start talking about OpenSUSE now, you know, I used to just talk about OpenSUSE the distribution, but if you look at the OpenSUSE project today, it's a project made out of many, many, many projects. In fact, this slide is woefully out of date, and I can sneak peek that tomorrow it'll be even more out of date, because there'll be something else to add to this slide. And the question then becomes, like, how did we end up with this complicated mess? You know, arrangement. You know, you've got all these different projects. How did that happen? How do projects get involved in OpenSUSE? What is OpenSUSE when you've got all this stuff underneath it? And really, at the heart of that, at the beginning of all of that, there is kind of one of these fundamental truths of open source, which is equally true, if not more true, in OpenSUSE than in many other places. That, you know, every contribution, every developer, every person involved in OpenSUSE is there because they've got some itch to scratch. They know what they want to fix. They generally have an idea on how they want to fix it. And so the thing with OpenSUSE is really a case of we want OpenSUSE to be a project where we can get them involved, we can capture them into our sphere of influence. So, you know, they can help what we're interested in as a collective group. Ultimately, thinking it from a sort of broader project perspective, as we have this whole diverse family of software in our distribution, you know, when something does go wrong, when something doesn't get fixed, you know, ultimately, you know, if a volunteer doesn't fix it, you're going to have to find somebody, and that can be a pain. You don't want to have broken things lurking around your project's code base for a long time. Projects must provide value and time rewards, or value of time for its contribution, everything that's coming to these contributions. And as a volunteer community, you know, it's important to realize where that sort of decision-making power comes from, or where the, who should be deciding what needs to be done. The best person to decide anything, in my opinion, is the person doing that thing, the volunteer involved in that. You know, the role of the project isn't there to tell people what they need to do. The role of an open source project should be to give them the tools and the environment to be able to do that, to really empower them so they can get on and change what they want to change in that project. And even if you did try to tell them what you wanted them to do, quite often contributors are like donkeys. They're stubborn. They won't do it anyway. So why does so many open source projects try? We used to in OpenSUSE, we don't anymore. We generally don't try and force people to go and work on these features. We just try and show the situation as it is and hope people come in and get involved and fix things. So new contributors should be able to pretty much start from day one as a walking, talking part of the project. You know, they should know what they'd be able to, get involved, get started, and be able to go sort of straight from birth to being an active contributor in the project. So how do we do that in OpenSUSE? You've heard it. In fact, I've seen at least one talk where this was already mentioned. You know, those that do decide, kind of the core principle of how contribution works in OpenSUSE. If you're doing something in OpenSUSE, you decide what gets done in OpenSUSE. And rule number one, we really should be talking about that far more often. But what does it mean in practice? My slide's not showing here now, sorry. Like I said, it works best when the contributor doing the work is the one empowered to decide what to do. That doesn't mean doing everything on your own. You know, teamwork helps. You know, you need to spread that load more than, across more than one person. You don't want to be, don't want to have a situation where one person gets sick or one person leaves the project and an entire part of your project falls apart. But how those, therefore, you want to pull people together into teams, but how those teams work, again, isn't a cookie cutter model. If you think of something like OpenSUSE, where we're dealing with many different upstreams and many different components in the project, all of these have different requirements. Upstreams release things at different paces. Python works a different way than Ruby does and how they release all their modules and the like. So how those teams inside OpenSUSE that are dealing with that should have the freedom to decide how to organize themselves, how to release their software, and it shouldn't all just be kind of forced into one unified, messy funnel of, you know, you must work in this way. But you do need to have some common standards, you know, and that's one thing we do a really huge amount inside OpenSUSE. But implementing that is generally done by consensus. You know, anybody can contribute to OpenQA to decide the release criteria for what we release via OpenQA. You know, anybody can contribute to what we do in OBS, and even our spec cleaning tools, they're all open source, they're all there, so it's all available to be worked on collaboratively. And then those few senior people acting as gatekeepers are just there to act as gatekeepers, enforcing the criteria that the community as a collective have already decided. So there's no kind of grand overarching overlord. You know, we collectively come up with the rules, and then these poor guys volunteer to make sure we stick to them. So that means anybody can contribute to OpenSUSE right throughout day one. No requesting permission, no asking for sort of, you know, maintainership of a certain package. Anybody can log into OBS. They can get an account. They can immediately start working on our code base. And that means when it comes to sort of who's in charge of OpenSUSE, it's your contributions that really do the talking. You know, automatic OBS checks make sure things work, you know, keep on working, and you know, it's all functionally testing. So the question when it comes to, you know, do we accept this change isn't a case of, you know, does this fit with our product vision, or does this fit with, you know, SUSE's goals, which we'll talk about more later. It's really a case of, you know, will this thing work? Or will this thing cause us more of a headache down the road? Which is a way easier frame of mind to be approaching random contributions from a broad community. And because we have that mindset, we don't fall into this trap that many other projects have of having steering committees, engineering councils, product managers, project managers, benevolent dictators for life. All of that is unnecessary in OpenSUSE, and I think that is an incredibly good thing. It makes us incredibly agile and incredibly flexible. And it avoids problems like certain distributions had with things like systemd. If you look at examples like Debian, you know, systemd did not have an easy time getting itself into Debian. There was lots of people who wanted it, there was lots of people who didn't, flame wars erupted. And yet in OpenSUSE, we were the first distribution to actually adopt systemd, and nobody really argued with it, because a contributor did all the work, or contributors did all of the work. It was there, it was merged, it worked. It worked well enough that we made it the default eventually. There, you know, peace, happiness, mostly. I mean, okay, the occasional mailing list flame war, because some people still don't like it, but it's hard to argue with the fact that it's there and it's working. And that means OpenSUSE is an incredibly agile project these days. You know, we can adopt new technologies, new ideas, whatever the crazy thing you want to work on, incredibly quickly. And yet we're also flexible to kind of not do anything in one standard consistent pace or one standard consistent way of doing things. See, there are, in Tumbleweed, for example, there are cases where we are the fastest distribution on the planet. And there's other cases in Tumbleweed where we're significantly behind the curve, because that's the pace that our contributors have decided they want to run Tumbleweed at. And that what makes sense, because, you know, that upstream is a little bit too crazy and their latest version is a little bit too broken, and therefore it's best for Tumbleweed to be, you know, that little bit further behind. So, yeah, which, you know, ultimately means we have a better distribution to give to our users at the end. And, yeah, as I've already said, there's sort of no restrictions on finding an innovative solution. Sometimes there have been stuff done in OpenSUSE which if we had strict criteria, if we had strict sort of project management or product controls, you wouldn't do it that way. But it makes sense for our contributors, it works, so we accept it, and it works, and they maintain it until then. But it's not all perfect. It does have some challenges with this mindset. This freedom does cause sort of a paralysis of choice. You can do anything in OpenSUSE, so what do you do? That does, especially new volunteers, does sometimes scare them away. That is one of the reasons why I'm doing this presentation, to kind of show that it's not that scary, it's not that intimidating. You can just pick any one thing you want to work on. It does sometimes also have a habit of misconceptions. As established contributors kind of get seen as guys who know everything and making all the decisions, and it's not true. Really not true. I have no idea what I'm doing most of the time. It's important to realize that you can just come to OpenSUSE with a brand new idea. You can rock the boat. Please do. It keeps us honest and makes things more interesting. We really need that to keep the project moving forward. But then there is, of course, at some point, what do you do when one contributor or one group of contributors has a different idea that is fundamentally incompatible with a different set of contributors? Deadlock is a real risk in this model. And so you need to have what I refer to here as some kind of organizational checksum, because you don't want developers fighting in the street. And in the past, in other projects, there's a tendency to... I'm skipping ahead of the slide. Yeah, conflicts happen, sorry. Volunteers are human, mostly. We do have a couple of bots in OpenSUSE that people think are human and keep on replying to emails from, but generally speaking, our volunteers are human. They have different ideas, and sometimes compromises can be incredibly hard to find. And when those conflicts happen between developers, there's a real strong tendency in open source projects to see them as technical discussions or technical decisions. This is where I think so many mailing list flame wars start in so many different projects, of debating the technical minutiae of this way is better versus that way, and this is right and this is wrong. The OpenSUSE view, or at least the OpenSUSE board's view on this, is this isn't a technical problem. If you have competing ideas and competing arguments to the point where you can't find a way of getting along in your project, it's not a technical issue, it's a human one. You have people who are disagreeing, and you need to deal with the people, not the technical bit. There's no, it doesn't matter which technical solution is best. In the open source world, more often than not, in fact, the best technical solutions don't win, it's the motivated ones. Because they're the ones that have the contributions behind it. They're the ones that are going to keep on developing 6 months or a year from now. So who cares which is technically the best one? It really matters which one has the people behind it and which one can you get the most motivation behind it. So it needs a human touch. You need to listen to all sides involved. They need to realize they're heard, and you need to kind of look at it from a very much an interpersonal and a sort of emotional one, not a technical one. Sometimes, ultimately, even looking at all of that, sometimes a decision has to be made. Sometimes things get so split that you do have to make a final decision on a topic. That's a really awkward position to be in, because at some point you're basically meaning someone's going to be told what they have to do. And it's an absolute last resort. But in OpenSUSE, we have a group of volunteers who are responsible for being that last resort. If you have a problem, no one else can help. Who do you call? The A team, or more seriously, the OpenSUSE board. And that's the role of the OpenSUSE board, or the main role the OpenSUSE board plays in the project. As that escalation point, when those things get stuck, you can contact board at opensuse.org. We'll step in, we'll try and help out, we'll try and smooth the waves and sort out that interpersonal problem, and if we can't, we'll be the horrible people making the final decision, so everybody can blame us and no one else. So the environment's there. Anybody can contribute to OpenSUSE, but how do you get started? How do you sort of get involved and actually, in bare terms,
do stuff.
And this is surprisingly non-technical, on purpose, these next slides. I didn't want to go into great detail about putting stuff into OBS or putting stuff into OpenQA, because we have this broad family of different projects. This is the kind of the high-level view of, regardless of which project, my advice on how to get involved in an OpenSUSE project. And kind of to reflect that, I won't let this slide stay up there too long, but you know, when this is all uploaded, you know, we have a bunch of different mailing lists. We have a bunch of different IRC channels. That's the best way of getting in touch initially with our contributors, with our projects, with those teams. The list is even longer, obviously. That's why I've listed like lists at opensuse.org and all of our Freenode channels. You know, those teams do all scatter around there. But it's nice to know this is, generally speaking, most of the project is mailing list and IRC-centric, with a good chunk of GitHub these days as well, which I realize I forgot to put on there. The starting point is really doing your homework. Figuring out what do you want to do. Understand what your problem is, the topic you want to fix, whatever it is. Don't make assumptions. Don't read the Register and other news articles and think those journalists know what they're talking about. Really figure out the problem from your perspective of what needs to be fixed in OpenSUSE. So, you know, do your research. Have a look at the OpenSUSE wiki. Have a look at the Arch wiki. Have a look at anyone else's projects. What is the rest of the open source world doing? And figure out how you want to see that implemented in OpenSUSE. And start at this point the discussion. You know, this is why we're at OpenSUSE. OpenSUSE conference. I've been doing this already for all this morning. You know, bounce these ideas off other people. Start just getting a feel for what other people think about what you're thinking of, what you want to change. And yeah, really get a sort of strong base of knowledge that you have understood the problem that you're trying to fix. And then carry on doing a little bit more of homework. You know, have some rough plan for how you want to fix it. You know, what do you want the end goal to look like? You don't have to have all of the details. In fact, the details will change anyway when you start implementing it. But have a rough idea of what you want the final outcome to be and where you want the project to look when you're done. The details are totally and utterly optional, but you need to have a rough idea of this, because this is the bit you really need to start when you start explaining it to other people. You know, how are you going to get more people involved to work with you on this crazy plan? That is, if you want anybody to help you. If you think you know what you're doing, you've figured out your plan, you don't need anybody to help you, then just do it. There's no, you know, no, like I said, no permission required, everything's already open, just contribute. But if you do need help, then you need to share it with the project. And so, at least for the distributions, the best place for that is okay. Okay, fine. Anyway, yeah. If you're working on the distributions, the best place for that is the OpenSUSE Factory mailing list. And basically present your idea, present the plan, you know, basically present your couple of paragraphs of homework from everything you've been thinking about, and avoid presenting it as an open question. Don't ask, what do you think of this? Because you will get 500 answers. And none of them will be helpful. Most of them will be negative. You know, present it from the point of view of, this is what I'm going to do. And you know, this is how I intend to do it. Because if you do it that way, then it's now the community's responsibility to stop you. And as confrontational as that may sound, it actually ends up really focusing that feedback, so you're going to get decent, constructive, or more accurate, useful feedback of why you shouldn't do things that way and how you should be doing it differently. And that I've seen time and time again, when that approach has been taken, the conversations are far more helpful, and the final conclusions are exactly what, you know, exactly what the project needs. Maybe not what was originally discussed, but exactly what the project really needs to solve that problem. So you need to listen to that feedback. You need to consider that feedback. You don't necessarily need to do everything that feedback says. You know, we are a smart bunch of people. That doesn't necessarily mean we're always right. And yeah, if you listen to all of that feedback and you're still sure that your way of doing things is how you want to do it, well, then good luck to you. Go ahead. You know, we'll see how it works when it's in the distributions. But if you do decide at this point that, okay, I was wrong, you know, it's not a failure to just admit at that point and, you know, stop what you're doing. In fact, you know, there's enough threads on Factory that if people go back and think about that in the context of this, you can see plenty of examples where I've suggested stuff on Factory and then it never happened because people were right when they said I was wrong. It's a learning experience, and that's a good thing. But if you are getting that feedback, the fast feedback really helps. You know, don't just post on the mailing list, fire and forget, and ignore all the replies. Do respond, do engage, because those discussions are how you find volunteers to help you with that. You know, there's been plenty of times in OpenSUSE where I've proposed an idea, people have argued about it, said I was crazy, said I was nuts, and then I ended up with a team of five people, half of them who thought I was nuts, working on the thing with me, because they wanted to make sure it was right. So that's how you really, that's how these self-organized teams start, more often than not. Decide what you want to do, and do it. It's really that simple. And sometimes from these discussions and this way, you do end up with multiple solutions to a problem, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, if you look at OpenSUSE, you know, how many desktop environments do we have? This is how we ended up with that. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Why not do all of them if you have people behind it pushing for it? And so that's it. Do it. You're all set. Get started. Get cracking. Do whatever you want to do in OpenSUSE. It's an open project. Open's in the name. The clue's there. And normally at this point, I end up with people asking me, well, yeah, but what about those corporate guys? You know, what about SUSE? You know, aren't they controlling what you guys are doing? You know, aren't they deciding what needs to be done? And yeah, okay, this is like, I know the third talk about this kind of today because I didn't realize everybody else was talking on this topic, but yeah, you know, OpenSUSE is truly an independent open source project. Yes, it's sponsored by SUSE. SUSE are backing us. SUSE are paying for a lot of this weekend, but not the only sponsor. We have others like IP Exchange, B1 Systems, who are here as well, and Applied Micro. But SUSE believes in open source the same way OpenSUSE believes in open source. You know, SUSE's contributions to OpenSUSE are done as peers, not as controllers in any way. And you know, engineers are encouraged to spend their free time in here. I mean, you know, just as a raise of hands, how many SUSE engineers are in the room? Yeah, see? yeah, so you know, you all know how it works. Yeah, so there are plenty of examples like we hear, Leap 15 launch day, you know, Leap 15 is based on SLE. You know, it's a wonderful example of how the two different communities, in essence, work together, work on the same code base. Tumbleweed is the base for SLE engineering. But all of that close working together doesn't mean that OpenSUSE's direction is controlled by SUSE. There are an equal number of examples where OpenSUSE diverges from SUSE. You know, for example, actually, I'm skipping ahead of a slide again. My slide bits are completely messed up. Sorry. Yeah, we're all using the same tools. In fact, like you heard this morning in the keynote, you know, a lot of the things like CI, like OpenQA, like a lot of the reproducible building that you see in SUSE now, all started in OpenSUSE. So it's not just a case of code contributions flowing, it's also a case of philosophy and engineering processes and design, which you know transfers from OpenSUSE to SUSE when SUSE realized that's the better way of building this stuff, that's the better way of testing this stuff. So it really is a two-way street. You know, OpenSUSE gets our wonderful code base for Leap, SUSE gets their wonderful code base for SLE. We share everything in between. But it doesn't mean we do everything exactly the same way. Like I said, an equal number of cases where OpenSUSE diverges away. This list is getting longer and longer, in fact, but you know, the obvious ones, you know, the default desktop in OpenSUSE is KDE. SLE doesn't even have KDE anymore. You know, we have a completely different style of the distribution when it comes to the product. You know, SLES is lean, modular, everything's these different components that customers can pick and choose depending on how they want, and we distribute Leap as one large distribution in one large repo because that's the way we think is best to do it. and we have a completely different installation workflow. In fact, we have a completely different installation workflow in like every different product that we have in OpenSUSE, like Casp and Cubic and the like. And to kind of give the sort of more visual example of how that all works, that's why Jerry's here, because he works on the YAS team. So the YAS team are perhaps the most SUSE controlled part of OpenSUSE, in the sense of they're almost all the developers are entirely employed by SUSE, and they're working on SUSE products. But even there, as you're going to explain, it's entirely open and how it all works. So over to you now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Richard. So let me talk about how we develop YAS. So first of all, what is YAS? YAS stands for yet another setup tool. Actually, I joined the company more than 16 years ago, and when I joined the company, the installation and configuration tool of, at that point of time, SUSE Linux was called YAS. So nothing changed. It was completely home-developed solution. Project started in SUSE from scratch, developed by a team which was completely part of SUSE here in Prague and in Nuremberg. And to some extent, this is how it is until today. Of course, back then, all the development was in-house. We wrote it in a proprietary programming language. Even though you got the source code, not all parts were under a free license. All the communication was inside the company, which is something that has changed. Nowadays, all the communication channels are public, hosted by OpenSUSE, Freenode. The repository is public, so we do our work way more in open. Even though the team is inside SUSE, it still allows you to contribute. There are really many options. I put just three of them here on the slides. YAS consists of modules which are more or less independent. So if you are brave enough, you can write your own new module. Does anybody have any idea of module which was written by community member who was not, and I think never, employee of SUSE? There was one called One-Click Installer. It was developed by Benji Weber. And there is one more example, which was the GTK backend for the user interface. It was also written by somebody out of SUSE, or at least out of the YAS team here. I do not know whom exactly. Well, writing your own module might be a bit too much for the beginning. So you may start fixing your favorite bug, which bothers you most, or maybe you are lacking some functionality, so this is what you can do. So how do you provide your code? As Richard mentioned, all the code lives in the open build service. Here on the slide, I put a link to the development project where all YAS packages which go to OpenSUSE Factory are hosted. So this is where any package will end up. Of course, this is for OpenSUSE Factory. If you want to provide a package for any older release, they have their own sub-projects. Anyway, most of the teams do not work only on build service because it has no conflict resolution, and the team benefit of version control systems like, 16 years ago it was CVS for YAS, and then Subversion. Nowadays it is Git, and YAS lives in the GitHub repository. So how to contribute properly? Here I put on the slide the link to the Yast project on GitHub, which hosts all Yast repositories. So the easiest way, and I can see at least two members of the Yast team here in the room, they can confirm that this is the way we appreciate most, is find the repository where you want to add new stuff, fork the repository, work on your fork, and when you think that you are ready to be merged to our code, then create a pull request. The reason for pull request is not something like we do not trust you to give you access to the repository directly. This is how we work on our own as well. It has various advantages. One of the rules we have in the team is that all code before it gets merged should be reviewed by at least one other developer. And the pull request scheme, which is provided by GitHub, it serves this purpose more or less perfectly. Anybody who can comment on your changes, give you feedback, you can discuss it in GitHub. Then later, if the one who gave you the initial feedback goes on vacation, anybody else can step in, has all the history. So it's a nice platform for the communication for the code changes. We also have various tools hooked into the pull request, which means, for example, you can see before you merge your changes whether the package will build after your changes merged. You can see that you cut the test coverage of the package into half if you did more changes. So all these checks can be done before your code is merged, and it prevents submitting package which is anyhow wrong. So after the discussion about your code, and if it's your first submission, probably there will be some, you get the package merged into the Git repository, and as long as we are working on Factory, or the automation behind will take care that the package appears in the devel project, and later a submit request to Factory is created. Of course, or not, maybe not of course, but you might need some help when you implement your change. The best way to get help, of course, is to ask. The Yast team communicates almost exclusively on a public mailing list or in a public IRC channel. Here you have the links in the slide. So whatever is more convenient for you, whatever you prefer, either send us a mail or connect to the IRC channel and ask. Just keep in mind one thing, especially if you live on the other at the end of the planet. The team is located only in two time zones next to each other. So Australian noon is not the best time to ask on IRC. So you created a pull request and nothing happened. Well, of course, it doesn't put us into the best light, but it can happen. It happens for pull requests of the Yast team members too. So the only thing you can do and you should do is contact us and remind us about your changes. And if you do it in the right time, then I'm pretty sure that somebody from the team will give you the feedback which you are searching for. Important, but I think that's true for all open source projects, do not take any feedback you might get personally. Nobody from the team is a native English speaker. We come from different environments, so whatever. If something sounds okay for somebody, somebody else may take it personally. We never mean it. What we want to do is really to find a way to get your changes to a state in which they can be merged. And really get them to the project. So if you want to help with Yast, and are you searching for what could I do? Yes, there is definitely a lot of work which you could do. If you do not have your favorite bug which bothers you, or you don't feel that you are able to fix it, the Yast team has so many bugs that, to be honest to ourselves, they cannot be fixed in reasonable time by the team itself. That's why we try to identify bugs which, in our view, seem to be easy enough so that anybody who does not have that much experience can fix them. And we put them on a specific assignee in Bugzilla. So if you would like to get inspiration what to start with, this is a recommendation where you find bugs which we believe that you will be able to fix. So, want to learn more? I put on the slide two links to the Yast documentation. They should give you hints what to start, what to learn, how to start. Anyway, have you ever seen a documentation which is perfect? Yeah, nobody did. And if you look into it, find something missing, again, please tell us. If you do not tell us what is missing in the documentation, you can be sure that we will not fix it, because for us it seems obvious. And until somebody who is not familiar with the topic reviews it, it will remain, in our view, this way.
That's fine.
Hello.
Yep, good. Yep, so, yeah. Yeah, so just to sort of, yeah, in closing, you know, you decide whatever happens in OpenSUSE. You know, there's nobody else, you know, it's up to you entirely what the project looks like. Not a single part of the project is off limits to contribution. We've even had cases like, well, Tumbleweed's a fun example, you know, and yeah, for years the Tumbleweed release manager was in essence a community contributor, well, was a community contributor, didn't have anything to do with SUSE until SUSE hired him. But, you know, yeah, the project is here to help and have a lot of fun. Does anybody have any questions, comments, feedback, shouting? No? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.